Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection, using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat?
Hi, Miss Tammy Lee. Nice to have you back as our regular announcer.
Thank you, ma'am. Great to be back.
I hope everything is going well in your neck of the woods.
Everything is going much, much better, and thank you so much for asking. Been doing some special work for a family member, and everything is actually going quite well, and
good.
I appreciate all the thoughts and prayers, so thank you so much, ma'am.
Just about everybody who was here last week promised to pray, and I think we did send a big blessing down your way, so I'm glad to hear it landed on the right party.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate y'all so much. Thank you, as always.
All right. Well, I have a lot of news to report, and I told y'all I was going to be talking trains, so we're just going to briefly talk trains here. This radio show is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Now, y'all think of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company as, you know, the largest independent non-factory manufacturer for hoodoo supplies. I mean, they're people who are bigger, but they have factories with, you know, machines and underpaid workers, and it's all, you know, just done by machines. We are the largest company that makes everything by hand. We know that. We are so far into our beautiful occult supplies. However, Lucky Mojo is more than just an occult supply shop. Lucky Mojo is, in the words of my husband Nagashiva, a theme park. I used to call it the Colonial Williamsburg of occult shops, by which I mean if you come here, you're not just going to your neighborhood metaphysical store, botanica, occult shop, meditation center, or what have you. This store is designed to authentically represent early to mid-20th century, actually more early, 20th century occult shops. And everything is made of wood. Everything is made by hand. You know, there's a shop dog, shop cat. This is old school, really old school. Everybody who works behind the counter says hello in a friendly manner, I hope. And on the property, there are a lot of other things that remind you of our historical past, where hoodoo and root work came from, where conjure came from the South and particularly from the rural South. So we are blessed to be living on an old farmstead built in 1875. We have an old barn from 1875. So it's painted up to represent a barn that would be located in, you know, in the states of Missouri, Tennessee. Some of the states around Tennessee would have these Rock City barns, and they would advertise Rock City in Lookout Mountain, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then we put in a railroad crossing signal because, hey, it was for sale. They had torn out some railroad lines here, and there it was. It's a 1932 crossbuck signal with a bell. And so we installed that, and then everyone asked where was the train. So we've been building the train. And the train is modeled on the Eastern Tennessee and Western North Carolina Railroad, a narrow gauge railroad, ran through towns like Johnson City, Boone, and so forth. You can look it up on a map. And we are building the train now. The train is going to be ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And people might say, well, what does a train have to do with hoodoo? Oh, a lot, a whole lot. The movement of people was facilitated by trains in the 19th and early 20th century. And hoodoo, which was at one time primarily the folk magic of black Americans living in the South, and of course first under slavery and then later as free people, but still under economic hardship, was vastly changed when what was called the Great Northern Migration happened. And people began to move from the South to the North, to first up to places like Memphis and then on up to Chicago, New York City, Philadelphia, Detroit, and out to the West Coast, Oakland, California being prominent, Los Angeles also. So hoodoo became established in these northern and western cities because at that time, before the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there was segregation in the land and black people were forced to live in more or less ghettoized areas. And they preserved a lot of their southern culture because they were kept apart from mainstream white culture. So they brought with them all of their customs, and those customs were not plowed over or plowed under by other customs. Nowadays, things are different. People move around freely. But the railroad represents a lot in the history of hoodoo, a lot of songs about railroads by the same people who sang hoodoo songs that we have on those CD records that we put out. They're all about Black Cat Bones and Mojo Hands, but those same musicians, if you look them up, and you can find their stuff at iTunes or on YouTube, they'll have songs about train going north, and I went down to the depot and I looked upon the board, and get your ticket at the station. These are old folk music, folk songs about the Great Northern Migration. And if it hadn't have been for that, I never would have found out about hoodoo because I grew up in the East Bay. And so what I found was a vast community of practitioners and professional root workers and spiritual ladies who came from northern Louisiana, southern Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and East Texas, who had a very vibrant culture that they let me get into. And that's because of that I learned about what was back there in the South. And, of course, I went back to visit as soon as I got old enough to hitchhike out there. And I spent a lot of time traveling around the South learning hoodoo from practitioners. But I also have to say, all props and all respect. People will say, oh, you have to go south. No, there's plenty of good black practitioners in Detroit, in Chicago, in Kansas City, and all around the country. Now, with the Internet, everybody has gotten on the hoodoo bandwagon. They all get their ticket at the station, and they're getting on board. And so I want to show the past, not because the past is inherently better than the present, but because the past is where hoodoo comes from, and I don't want us to forget that past. So when you come to Lucky Mojo, you'll see the train. Now, who's building the train? You think I'm out there with my little fingernails in the dirt? Yes, I am, a little bit. But the train that we have, the train that's being built, Garden Scale Railroad, is being installed by a team of wonderful experts in their fields. We have Nancy Norris of Garden Lines did the basic layout. We have Daniel Smith of DanielSmithRailroads.com putting in trestles, building buildings. The guy's phenomenal. That's DanielSmithRailroads.com. I hope someone puts that in the chat room. Go click on it. You're going to see some amazing stuff, including his work on our trestles at our site. And Eric Moe of Moe's Trains is doing the electrical work, and Don Herzog of Miniature Plant Kingdom is supplying well, guess what, miniature plants. And these folks are all train enthusiasts, wonderful people, and they're committed to getting this train up, running, and actually functional in time for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival May 3rd and 4th. So if you all come out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival to learn about hoodoo, there's going to be 10 courses, 10 classes that we're teaching. Free food is provided, free books. Everybody who signs up gets all the books for all, and I'm talking books, not little pamphlets now, and goodie bags, everything. It's a beautiful two-day festival. If you come out for that, you can watch the train go around. And Professor Porterfield of Texas has promised us that he will help run the train. He's a train enthusiast and a model railroader himself, and he's going to be out. Those of you who remember Professor Porterfield before he went into retirement, he's back, and he's not taking clients right now, I don't think. He has a lot on his hand with his family, but he is working on the railroad, and he's working in Hoodoo again, which is wonderful for us. So that's my news. And
very exciting.
Yeah. Now, Professor Ames, I know you have an interest in railroads, too. Is that correct?
Miss Kat, I used to get G-scale. I didn't quite have quite the elaborate layout that you do. I ran it around the Christmas tree every year. But
yeah,
I definitely
yeah.
had an interest in them. It's really fascinating, that G-scale, garden scale. It's made for outdoors.
Uh-huh.
So it can run out in California. It can run it year-round.
Yeah.
But I really find them fascinating, and I really love, especially because of the scale of them, you can put them with live plants and vegetation, your little miniature plants you're talking about. It's fascinating. I hope everyone comes out and sees it.
Yeah, it's going to be something. It's going to be something. Now, we will talk hoodoo, and I promise, but I just wanted to catch people up on this. There'll be some pictures in the March Lucky Mojo newsletter about well, the train, of course, but also some of the people involved in it, and we're just going to talk about it. One of the things we found out was that one of our employees here, Bo Maldonado, who works for Lucky Mojo doing groundskeeping and fence building, and just, you know, he generally is our guy, does everything we need that's mechanical around the place, and we do need them. We found out that we knew he was a tattoo artist. We found out the guy could paint tiny miniature lettering, and he has painted the scale model of our Rock City barn that Daniel Smith built with tiny corrugated tin roofing. I mean, it's amazing. And
amazing.
Daniel is now going to be building a model, a scale model of our church, the smallest church in the world, Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. There's going to be a tiny little scale model of that church, and Bo will be the one who paints it. So just wanted to let you all know that that is what's happening. Now, I ought to say hi to Ollie. I skipped over you because I know you're not interested in trains. But hello, Ollie. How are you doing down there?
I'm certainly interested, but not as deeply interested as yourself. But it is very fascinating to hear. And seeing the photos is very exciting, and I look forward to seeing it in person when I come up for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. I am doing well. I've been preparing for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. I am, like all good earth signs, we don't, you know, leave anything to the last minute. So I've been preparing, even though it's a couple months away, I'm getting myself ready, preparing both my workshop as well as the road opening ceremony. So everything is underway in regards to that, and I look forward to going up there and getting a chance to see everyone again and definitely see the railroad. It's very exciting. Every time I go up there, there's something new. Last year with the labyrinth that was built, this year it's the railroad. So it's constantly growing, and there's always something to see at our Hoodoo Disneyland.
Well, that's what it is. Well, that's a good way of putting it. You know, I do like to put on a little bit of fun and show for people. And another thing that's happening this year at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is we're going to have a lunchtime concert by Madame Pamita on Saturday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Madame Pamita does her little, if you haven't seen it, you haven't lived. She's a great root worker. She's a lady who makes all this fabulous YouTube videos of, you know, how to do a double action candle and things like that. She's just amazing presentation of these very clear videos. And I call them all information, no ego. You know, they're just really good videos. And And she is a performer. She sings and plays the ukulele, and she performs as a 1920s vaudevillian or medicine show gal, Madame Pamita. And she's going to be putting on a show on Saturday. That's all included in the price of your admission if you come out for the workshops, which will include bone reading with Michelle Jackson. They're going to include wildcrafting, how to find hoodoo plants in an ordinary landscape with me, Kat. We're going to have something on bathing and cleansing. We're going to have Miss Michael's Bible book with Charles Porterfield is coming out. We're going to have a whole lot of stuff on Bible magic. And it's really going to be quite the show. I mean, there's Madame Nadia is going to be doing love and glamour spells. And I know I'm forgetting about 6,000 other things, but just trust me. It's all there at HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Okay, HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Just go there. You can buy tickets and sign up. All right, well, we have some time for our panel discussion. And Professor Ames proposed it this time. And he proposed that we discuss is the spiritual church in hoodoo. Now, I'm going to set the scene for this just a little bit. Okay. As we all know, the predominant religious denomination of African Americans in America is Baptist, most Baptist. Next comes the Pentecostal denominations, all of them smaller, but collectively, Baptist and Pentecostal or Holiness, Sanctified, you name it, they make up most of the religious adherents in the black community. Next most, we would find Catholic, but it's a very small number compared to the Protestants, very small number. And then after that, we have what are sometimes called the new religions. Now, the new religions include spiritualism, which was founded in the 19th century. It existed informally, but it was not a formal religion until the 19th century. And you could say that Pentecostalism is new, but it builds upon Christianity. It was also devised in the early 20th century, but it flowed into and out of Christianity. Spiritualism has taken a very diverse turn. White spiritualism kicked out the black spiritualist churches in 1922 in their segregation policies. I'm sure they regret it now. But they then declared that spiritualism was a new religion that owed nothing to Christianity, and not all spiritualist churches believed that, but that caused a big schism. And the black spiritualist churches stayed primarily Christian. Some of them had Catholic underpinnings. Some of them had Baptist or Pentecostal underpinnings, and there also were spiritualist churches in Jamaica. And when Jamaicans came to the USA, they brought their form of spiritualism too. And you'll find them in places where there's a lot of Jamaican communities, like New York and in the South along the coast. So that's what we're talking about. And now, having said that, let's turn it over to Professor Ames.
Okay. So the kind of reason or inspiration for this is the world's smallest church, which is right there in your yard, the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. So I think a lot of people will see that, and they don't quite make the connection between the spiritual church and hoodoo. So I was just kind of putting that out there to kind of start clarifying kind of how those connect. The spiritual church movement, I should say, began in the 1848, I believe, with the Fox Sisters, who in Hydesville, New York, started communicating with spirit through the phenomenon of rapping, tapping sounds. And it immediately exploded. They became celebrities. They were brought all around. And spiritualism was, for the United States, was pretty well born with that. The interesting footnote that I think, and I think this is how it starts to tie into later African-American spiritualists, the first people who really started converting into spiritualism were the Quakers. And the Quakers are famously pro-social justice. Their meetings are very egalitarian. You know, there's not a preacher. Everyone sits in a meeting room and awaits divine inspiration. So it's a very personal thing. And all those features you can start to see pull over into a typical spiritualist circle setting, right? So that sense of the individual having messages from God or in spiritualism from spirit seems very familiar to them. And so out of that also, you see, because they were so prominent in the abolitionist movement, so prominent in women's suffrage, you see that carry over in spiritualism where you have a lot of women, very prominent in the movement, and an inclusion very early on of African-Americans. Sojourner Truth was in a seance with the Fox sisters in, I think, 1850-something. Our good friend Pascal Beverly Randolph, a spiritualist by the 1850s. And we hear his name many times, don't we? So it develops as a very informal, home-based spiritualist circles until the late 1880s, when I think it becomes more of a church establishment. And unfortunately, I think in the 1922, as you said, when they kick out the African-American members, it starts to lose some of that original, I'd say, egalitarian sense to it. But then we see Mother Lisa Anderson come down with Black Hawk as her spirit guide into New Orleans. And I think that's where we start to see the formation of a lot of things that we see in contemporary hoodoo, setting lights, the use of Black Hawk as a spiritual guide. Some of the Catholic iconography gets filtered in because they were, of course, in New Orleans. And definitely the African-American churches, spiritualist churches, incorporated more of that ecstatic Christian feel to it that was coming from their own expression of Christian churches. So,
may I add something about Mother Leafy Anderson? She started in Wisconsin, and she founded churches in New York City before she came to New Orleans. Everyone kind of thinks of her as a New Orleans person. But she had actually founded churches in New York, and I believe in Philadelphia as well, or had a circle in Philadelphia. And I think the reason she is associated primarily with New Orleans is that's where she died. She that was the end of her career, but she traveled, and had she lived longer, she did not live to a very old age. She wasn't young when she died, but she was not ancient, let's put it that way. Had she lived longer, I think she would have consolidated the movement a great bit more. Her church in New Orleans was taken over upon her demise by her chosen successor, Mother Catherine Seals. And Mother Seals also, unfortunately, did not have a long life. She died, I believe, a year after Leafy Anderson. So that left a kind of a void in the leadership. And at that point, again, there were schismatic movements and so forth and so on. But what happened then was that they lost connection with some of the other churches that Mother Leafy Anderson had founded. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it all seemed to, you know, people then, you know, moved in and looked at New Orleans. New Orleans has always been a special town. People want to look at it specially and differently than other cities. But there were churches founded by Leafy Anderson and or her successors and or which had schismed from her churches in New York. And you can read about one of them. Divine Harmony Spiritual Church was written about by Mikhail Strabo in How to Conduct a Candlelight Service, and he wrote that book in 1941-42. And so those things were still ongoing, and Reverend Adele Clemens, who led that church, was an African-American woman. But that's all we know about her. We don't know much more about it, but that is what we do know. So there's a lot of missing history, a lot to be discovered still.
Quite a bit. People, you know, should understand is spiritualism really revolves around two very important facets. Now, there's a variety of variations, but first and foremost is the idea that the dead are willing and able to communicate with the living. That's very important. And the second is a very clear inclination towards healing practices. This traces its origins all the way back to Mesmer, right? All the way in Europe, the hands-on type of magnetic healing. And that features very prominently in spiritualism. Spiritualism functionally did something very important. Hoodoo, as it was developing, and hoodoo as it evolves and grows, is often viewed very clearly as having African roots. But one of the things that happened in North America, and especially in the United States, that didn't happen in other areas where African slaves were brought, is that a lot of the ancestral practices around the ancestors themselves were lost, right? And this is because of the religious climate, the way the plantations were set up, which were vastly different from the slave camps. So mm-hmm. There's all sorts of reasons there's a difference here in the United States and other places. So the ancestor work really kind of vanished. It took on a much more passive role. Spiritualism, which is ultimately something European, but adopted but was open enough to people from outside of European ancestry, really reintroduced ancestor work. And a lot of the ancestor work we find today in hoodoo actually comes not from African practices. We often think that, like, oh, this is something they did, you know, on the plantation. This is something that people did in Africa. It's not true. It's actually more often than not from spiritualism. Similarly,
exactly.
Candle magic was popularized. We often go candle magic and we assume that it was Catholic. It actually was popularized mostly by the spiritualist churches who were usually connected to candle shops and these other areas where candle magic kind of came forward. So two big contributions to hoodoo that can't be overlooked is, one, the reintroduction of ancestor work in a much more active fashion, and two, the introduction the popularization of candle magic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to something else too here about why spiritualism was important in hoodoo. It was in part because of the connection to ancestor worship, which is an ancient African practice, which maintained itself in an informal way. In other words, there were no formal ancestor altars or anything like that, but in an informal way, ancestor veneration was always part of African American culture and still is to this day. But another reason that spiritualism was so important was that spiritualist church ministers tended to offer services that were what I would call more magically oriented than the services that were offered by, Baptist Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, or even the Catholic Church. So they would have things like a flower service where everyone would bring a flower and the flowers would be put in a vase and the flowers would be talked about and about the diversity of people, and then everyone would be given a flower that was different than the flower they brought and told to love their brothers. That kind of a service is not very common in churches of the mainstream Christianity at that time. There were healing services, often with water. There were prayer services, which were in some ways similar to apostolic Christian southern churches, but also quite different. And there were candlelight services. And the candlelight services of the black spiritual churches are unique, wonderful. And as I've mentioned before, the person we have most to thank for preserving these as they were prior to World War II is Sidney Steiner, a.k.a. Mikhail Strabo, who wrote a book about it where he consulted with Reverend Adele Clemens and of Divine Harmony, and he basically outlined four of her different church services and what they were like and what happened. And she was a spirit medium. She sat behind a table and she mm-hmm. gave messages from the dead, and he explains all of that. So, but he also explains how candlelight was used, the burning of candles in the sanctuary, the burning of candles right there on the altar, and people coming up and purchasing a candle to burn and set for a prayer that they had. In other words, you would take a little strip of papers would be handed out, and you'd write your prayer on it. On one side, you'd write a line from a psalm. Out on the other side, then fold that, wrap that, roll that paper around the candle, stick it in place with a little glue or tape, and put it in a pan of sand, and all the candles would be lit. And that kind of candlelight service was still being performed every week at different churches in the Bay Area when I was a kid. Not every church did it every week. They would have different types of services. But that kind of candle work, including the use of candle colors based on their symbolism and magic, mm-hmm. was ongoing in Oakland, California when I was young. It was still ongoing in Los Angeles the last time I checked in. You have to know who to ask about it. It's not something, you know, people say, oh, I can't find that. It doesn't exist anymore. Well, you don't know the right people.
No,
you know?
It does indeed
but,
exist.
That stuff is still going on in the 80s, 90s. The last time I checked in L.A., I don't go down to L.A. that much anymore.
Okay,
but there are certainly Starlight Cathedral is still in Oakland, California. You just have to know who to ask. You know, look it up and you'll know which one it is. Look for the word spiritual. If a church says spiritual in its name, you're probably on the right track.
And I can tell you one of the ways that I track down Mother Rosie and her church is if you start looking around, you will see, because not all churches have spiritual in the name, of course, but if you see that they have a candle service, you know, in their list of things in their services, good chance they're a spiritualist church. And especially if they have a separate candle shop, sometimes they'll list the hours for their candle store, their candle shop. That's a really good indication that they're of the, at least somewhat from the spiritualist tradition. So if you're hunting down one of these rare spiritualist churches of the old school, that's how I proceeded because, you know, there are lots of storefront little tiny ones that you find tucked away. But if you can get a listing of their services and they list something like a candle service, there's a good chance. And certainly if there's a candle store attached to it, you're on the right track.
Yeah. In Oakland and in Kansas City, the candle store is right next to the spiritual church. That's how it is. And that's how it is at Lucky Mojo. We have our little spiritual church. We have our little candle store right across a little pathway from each other. And that is an important part of our history. Now, I know that you've moved from Kansas City, but I still to Colorado. But thank you so much for bringing that material from Kansas City to everybody's public attention, because people didn't know. You know, they really didn't have any idea that this was still going on in Kansas City. And Papa Newt just told me recently he's going to go look up Mother Rosie and see her. You know, about
he has already met with her.
He has.
I'm glad to report. Yes, she is, you know, 81 years old now, I believe. Very frail health, has always had health problems. So she would have long periods where she would disappear. And it, frankly, kind of frightened me. And, you know, her phone would be turned off at the store and all of a sudden, and suddenly she'll appear for a little while and then disappear again. But Papa Newt has gone and sat with him. I know Julie Valdivia, also good luck. And Wayne Ucarney, who's a student of yours, further down, he has also become very good friends with Mother Rosie. There are folks who are visiting with her, helping her unpack stuff, sitting in her presence, and hopefully they're going to keep helping her to kind of continue her service.
Well, I hope they also videotape her. I hope they videotape her if she will let them, and let her pass on her knowledge, because that's she's a cultural treasure, and you don't want to miss out on something like that. I often will publicize these things. I did it when I met and got to know West Leland in Tallahassee, and I kept on saying, will someone go down and film him? Will someone go down and interview him? Nobody ever did, and I don't even know if West Leland is still among the living. So, let us honor our elders while they're alive, you know. Let's honor them and see if we can get something to document these traditions, because we don't want to look back and say, huh, what was that? You know, we don't know about that. We want to be able to look back and see what it was, document our history and honor our elders. All right. So, we run out of time for this panel discussion, but I'm just going to say that was, to me, it's of great interest, and I really do love the spiritual church movement, and it's a wonderful part of hoodoo, and it should not be overlooked or forgotten. I would say that although the numbers of percentage of Black Americans who identify as members of the spiritual church are relatively small, among hoodoo practitioners, the number is relatively large. Where there are spiritual churches, and these are mostly in urban areas, they're not going to be out in the country like those little Baptist churches are, But where they do exist, they tend to have a large number of adherents who work with practical folk magic.
Yes.
All righty. Well, let's turn this over to Ms. Tammy Lee, and we're going to take some callers. But thank you, Amos, for bringing us that subject. That was really
mm-hmm.
good. Okay, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, Professor Ames of SkullBoneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello. And let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client is calling in from 914 New York. This is Toyin. Toyin, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Great. Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling in and that you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers from air or had any other history with any other readers, okay? And she writes, I believe I've been jinxed. I felt stagnant most of my life. Turned 31 last December 29th, especially regarding money, work, and love. I'm out of a job and every other year, and debt is piling up while I'm a full-time student. I haven't been lucky with love either since 2007. She would like to have a reading and some root work suggestions for money and debt and also attracting a genuine love. Turning it back over to you, please.
Wow. Well, I'm going to say one thing. Welcome to the show, but I'm going to say one thing here, honey. You've been under a cloud that's lasted for quite a while.
Yes.
And you say you've been stagnant most of your life, felt stagnant most of your life. Well, that's a difficult situation, and you haven't been lucky since 2007. That's a considerable stretch of years. Now, before I do any reading on this, I'm going to tell you a few things. When people say, well, was I jinxed? If you were, it would either have to be a very strong, long-ago jinx or an ongoing jinx from someone who's still hitting at you. Because normally, just like we have an immune system in our body for sicknesses, most people can right themselves. It may take them a while, but if someone crosses me up, you know, I go through it, I shrug it off, and I go on. They'd have to really catch me off guard to kill me like a disease. I know what to do if I feel really under the weather, and I take care of that mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if
yeah.
something drags on and drags on and drags on and you have no luck for a long time, we sometimes look for a different source, and that is an astrological situation that you were born under, which is, there's an old song called Born Under a Bad Sign. And been down since I learned how to crawl. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. Well, that's an old song line, but that kind of describes a certain type of condition. You know, I'm an astrologer as well as a root worker. So when I hear long time, years like this, 7 years of no luck in love, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole life of feeling stagnant. So I'm going to tell you that we may not come up with the answer you are asking for. In other words, your question was, am I jinxed? And the answer may be something a bit more deep and complex. All right? Having said that, I'm going to cut the cards. I'm going to do an old three-card cut, and we're going to see what we get. All right. Well, the first card does say that there is something going on, and it involves the moon. Now, this is a card called The Moon, and it shows a dog and a wolf howling at the moon, but they never get there. They don't get their dreams fulfilled. And in the foreground, there is a little crawdaddy or a crayfish waving its little hands at the moon, but it can't get out of the water. And so we say these are stymied impulses. This is imagination that it doesn't come to fruition. This is a plan that cannot be enacted. This is a situation in which the moon is the goal, this love, this whatever the moon represents, fertility, female nature, but things are thwarted. And when we see this card, it can refer to the womb and it can refer to water. So I might say from this card that you have been literally jinxed or cursed from the womb. Now, I don't mean that you have some dark evil cloud or evil spirit following you around, but this is a long-standing condition, and it shows in this card that this may have had something that came through your mother's family, okay, because the moon represents the mother, or it may be something that a woman put on you, okay, because moon represents a woman. So now we look at the second card. And the second card is a card that, again, says that there is some problem, but this card is a little bit different, and I need to explain in part what's happening with this card. The card is called the Seven of Cups, and this card shows a person looking at seven golden cups. These are things that they could have, but they cannot decide. And part of what's happening to you is that there are offers that have been made that you haven't taken. There are offers you have chosen to take that you probably should not have. And there's a bit of confusion as to what your real goal is. And this is personal to you, but it's because you have lived somewhat of your life in the shadow. And this is a person in this card in shadow looking at a cloud on which there are seven golden cups, and they each contain different fabulosities. There's a castle, which stands for property ownership. There's gold and jewelry and coins, and that stands for money. There's an academic or military wreath of victory, which stands for victory, but there is a little problem with it. It has a skull engraved on that cup, so be careful how much debt you get into over that schooling. Then there's another cup. See, these are all kind of good things, but then there's this cup that's kind of weird. It's got this dragon on it kind of guarding the cup and kind of hissing at you like some sort of crazy lizard, and it has these little deformed thalidomide wings, I call them. And this dragon stands for your fears, and this dragon keeps you from getting things because of your fears. Way in the back, there's another cup that has a snake in it. There are people who have gossiped about you, people who have spoken ill behind your back. There's another cup, and that has the head of a stone god or idol in it, and he has grape leaves all around in his hair, and that stands for wasting your time in idleness, idle drunkenness, idle partying, just idleness, procrastination, things like that. And the last cup has a person in it, but he's in the golden cup. He's glowing, but there's a cloth over him, like a tablecloth, and you can't see who he or she is. And that person stands for a love who you do not know yet. So there's a lot of confusion here because there's too many choices, and some of the choices are not good ones, and you're giving them attention. You should knock them off the cloud. Get your fears right off that cloud. Get rid of those bad friends and unconscionable people who gossip behind your back, even with their family members. You know, procrastination, knock that cup over. That at least limits you down to four out of the seven, and then you can get rid of the one that's kind of got some problems attached to it and go for the other three. And then you can finally think, what is it that you really want? Property, wealth, or love? There you go. Those will be your good choices. But you got to eliminate some of the things that are surrounding you. But this does say you have wasted time. I'm not going to put a fancy face on it. You have wasted time of your life trying to choose among things, some of which should never have been chosen. And it's a confused situation and not a very lucky situation. The last card, third card, tells me that you can have some good to come out of this, but it's going to take a little bit of work. And the problem with this card is that I still show you as being a little disorganized in your efforts. The card is called the Knight of Swords. Shows a person trying to rush in and rectify everything, going to help everybody out. But the knight is a little disorganized, and he doesn't quite protect himself. So that also indicates that you may need a little bit of protection as you undertake to uncross yourself. But this card says don't listen to too many people at once. There's a whole flock of birds up above, and they're kind of flying around disorganizedly. Don't go on the aggressive attack, but this card is a warning that you need to focus on one thing and not let yourself be distracted, because if you try to fix everything at once, you're going to come to a confused state again, okay, because he turns back to the confusion. He doesn't move forward. So that's what the reading shows. Let's turn this over to Professor Ames and see what he reads.
Okay, Torian. I have laid out for me, I read the Lenormand cards. I like them because they're pretty straight to the point. And based on the layout here, I'm seeing above your head is the image of the anchor. The anchor is always about things being held down. You talk about being stymied. Definitely kind of tells you the mental situation that you're in right now. I'm looking backwards to the left of your card, the woman card, and there are a couple things here, and Kat started to kind of edge toward that, and I'm just going to go ahead and nail it. I think it is something that is for your entire life. It may very well be a generational curse or jinxing,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because I have to the side, to the upper left, if you'll imagine, the bear, which is very often represents the mother. The book beside it, it's like a diary, is about secrets. So there is some secret, and you may want to look in back and ask your mother or ask people who were other family members what it was like. If she felt jinxed or if your grandmother felt that she had some sort of a curse or burden on her. I look for the clover card, which is what I see as the luck card. Beside it is the tree. The tree is always about family roots, right? The family tree. Below mm-hmm. it's the cross and the coffin. Both two signs that you think of the cross as, you know, this is your cross to bear, right? So there's some sort of a burden on your luck. And the coffin indicates to me that there is some closing down. There's some boxing in of that luck and being able to move. So again, that sense of stagnation that you're talking about, I can definitely see coming through here. Where does it come from? The card, the closest I can get here is some argument that happened back. There's the Whips is close to all this and playing in here. The Whips talks about arguments, disagreements, fights. So probably if you ask your mother, grandmother, whoever kind of this came down through, there probably is some jealous suitor because I have the Heart beside it. So it's a rival that you beat out. You know, the story is old as time. And I feel that this was far away because I had the Ship below it. So I don't know if your family has moved or you've moved away from your family, but the location of this, the start of this, was actually started quite far away. So I hope that kind of helps kind of give you an idea of where this is probably coming from. I really do feel like it's a generational thing. Like Kat said, it's from the womb, right? So on the good side, I do think there are places where you can start to open paths for yourself. Going forward, I have the stork here at the end. That's always about new beginnings. I have the ring here and the key beside the man. So there's a possibility, not soon, but in the near future, a good relationship coming forward with you. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
So all is not lost.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's turn it over to Ali and see what can be done immediately with root work. But I have a feeling we're going to need a little bit more than just a home spell here.
Yeah, I would recommend in a situation like this, especially when it's going on for so long, and doing the type of uncrossing work that involves you going out to the crossroads itself. No, you know, place represents breaking the past, breaking roadblocks, and opening the way quite like the crossroads did. And what you're going to do is you're going to take four white candles with you, and you're going to take one black and white double action candle, okay? And you're going to go to a crossroads that you can work on, somewhere where you'll have privacy. And what you're going to do is you're going to set it up so that there's a white candle for each road. Okay, so you're going to set down one, and with each one that you set down, you're going to name it. This is my money that will be uncrossed. This is my love life that will be uncrossed. My home life, whatever. So you name each one of those, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever areas you find lost, you're going to name them. And you're going to light that. You're going to light each one of the candles, and you're going to, by light of that, hold your double-action black candle, black and white candle. On the white end, write your name. On the black end, write down whatever, you know, all cross conditions, all jinxes, all messes, okay? And then you're going to take a small knife or some type of sharp instrument, and you're going to carve another candle on the bottom of that candle. You're not going to actually fully buff it. You're not going to cut the other end and flip it. You're going to have two ends is what you're going to do. And then you're going to hold that up, and with all your intent and all your strength, you're going to break that candle in half. Okay? Now, it's still going to be attached by the wick. That's all right, but you want to make sure you break it in half. Now, generally, these are poured with two waxes or something, so they're relatively easy to break in half. It does take a little bit of, you know, arm strength, but I've done it myself. You're going to break it in half, put it in the center of the crossroads, and light both ends of the candle, and so that they burn towards the middle. This is going to break the curse that's been put on you, break the jinx that's been put on you, break this mess that's been put on you. And then you're going to turn around and walk away without looking back. So leave those candles. Make sure you do this in an area where you're not setting, you know, the entire city on fire. Be careful. Walk away from that. Go home and give yourself a van bath, something to really empower you and help change your luck. Because van is, as Miss Cat has said over and over again, a luck changer. And it also has this quality of empowering you, strengthening you, and also has a very good protective quality whenever you're trying to remove jinx. You do that, and that's going to be a good start. I do get a sense that you may need some help in doing work like this. You may require some outside assistance. Don't be afraid to look at a place like the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church to have some candles lit on your behalf to back up the work that you're doing.
What type of candles?
I would recommend uncrossing candles and van candles. Jinx killer candles are also particularly good. You can also go to this Crystal Silence League and put a prayer up there so people can pray on your behalf. But do this working, and that'll get things started. That'll get the ball rolling for you, okay?
Thank you, because I have been hearing about this generational thing, and I was told to work with my ancestors, which I've been doing for the past 2 months.
Good. Well, we all saw that it is something that goes back to the womb, as we said. So I would recommend that you get a good spiritual worker to help guide you. This is more than we can handle just on the radio show. It's a big issue here.
Yeah.
And you might want to arrange some consultation with someone who does ancestor work and does guided ancestor work with you. And there are people in AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, who will do this. They will not charge you an arm and a leg. And they are good folks, okay? So just check them out. I know if it were me, and everyone has their own favorites, and I'm in AIR, I could recommend myself or anyone here who's on the show right now, but I'm going to recommend Michelle Jackson, and I'll tell you why. Because Michelle Jackson works with bone readings, and she works with ancestors, and she is also an artist who creates personalized ancestor altars and ancestor image candles for her clients.
Oh, okay.
So Michelle Jackson, you can find her at the AIR site. Wonderful woman, wonderful worker. Okay?
Thank you.
So, all right. Good luck to you, honey.
Thank you.
All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code. There we go. Okay. Area code 917 from New York. This is Taurus Lady. Taurus Lady, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show and that you have not yet gone to any other Reuters root workers regarding your situation. And she writes, I'm unhappy at my job. I don't like the line of work, and my immediate supervisor doesn't like me. I'm looking to move into the field that I got a degree in, although work is hard to come by in it. Will I be successful in my venture to change careers? What are the obstacles in my path, and what kind of root work should I be doing to see a more favorable outcome? Turning it back over to you.
All right, so this is going to go to Conjurman Ali for the first reading.
Certainly. If you don't mind me asking, what is the line of work that you're looking to get into?
I got a degree in history, and I want to do something more related to, like, museum work or maybe in an art gallery, something along those lines.
Wonderful. Well, you've come to the right person because my degree has a degree in history, all of them, actually. Except for what? What, if you don't mind me asking, how far along, what degree did you end up getting? Do you have a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD?
Oh, I have a bachelor's degree right now.
You have a bachelor's degree right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've pulled three cards here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through them and see, you know, what they recommend and what they kind of reveal. And in terms of root work, we'll have one of my colleagues kind of step up for that. The first card that we have here is the Nine of Swords. The Nine of Swords is not a good card, and it shows a young woman who has been aroused from her sleep. She's got her head in her hand, and she's crying, and there are nine swords that are hanging above her. This is the stress of work. This is being unhappy at your current line of work. One of the worst ways, you know, one of the worst feelings for a Taurus is when they're not happy at work. Right? That's very, very big for a Taurus. Feeling satisfied at the work that a Taurus does is big. And I assume you're a Taurus from the Taurus lady as your screening. So this is, I can see how this is keeping you up. I can see how much you're stressed about this. But this also goes on to tell us that it is going to impact other areas of your life, that it's not just being unhappy at work, but it's going to be unhappy and unsatisfied with the way that your life is going in general. So be aware that it is going to have an impact, and the stress and being unhappy at work will have an impact on your health as well. So you're going to start feeling yourself being lackluster, lethargic, restless, anxious, and these are things that are, if have not already developed, will be developing shortly. So this is something that you need to address, and you need to address immediately. It also tells me that the dislike of your boss is not just, oh, that you don't get along with them, but there is something malicious there. There is a deliberate intent to harm you, and I would be very careful about evil eye work here. Or the projection of any type of negativity or malice towards you, because that's going to act as a serious obstacle and is going to take a toll on you. So any type of work that you do should include some element of protection for you, so it's very big. The next card we have here is the Queen of Swords. The Queen of Swords is a beautiful, powerful woman sitting on a throne. She's got a sword in her hand, and the other hand is raised out, beckoning and trying to draw people to her, draw the petitioners before her, and behind her are storm clouds gathering. The environment is a bit cold. The environment is a bit sterile in terms of getting a job that you want. Okay? The industry, quote-unquote, that you're trying to get into is not going to be particularly easy to get into. There are not going to be as many options. This is a woman who is left alone. She's powerful and strong. She's also kind of not getting what she wants. The story behind this is the queen whose king has left her, and he's off at war, and she's beckoning his return, but he's not coming back. So here, you're trying to draw in the job that you want that's not coming through. So the Queen of Swords tells me that your present situation is not going to be resolved easily. That, I don't see you landing a museum job or something along those lines anytime soon. It's going to take several months. Far longer than you anticipated, and it is going to take quite a bit of work on your behalf. It's going to require a combination of stout, powerful work, that's the sword, as well as a healing to spirit. That is the hand that is raised with a rosary attached to the hand. So you're going to have to work both ends here. You're going to have to go out there and really apply and charge forward, as well as a call on spirit. And this is confirmed by the third card. So not all is bad. The third card is strength. Strength tells us that you can overcome. And here we have a serene woman in a white gown with garlands of flowers around her head and around her waist. She's got an infinity symbol above her head, meaning that her power is truly infinite. And she is closing the mouth of a lion. She's able to tame that lion without any real physical strength, but calling upon her inner calm, her inner confidence, and her inner spirituality. So magical work is going to be of great help to you. This also tells me that you might consider if there's some type of certification course or internship, something that you can kind of boost your strength up. The infinity symbol, a lot of people may not recognize, but in a lot of the older depictions of the infinity symbol, usually refer to some form of further education. She's also has garlands of roses around her, which can represent fertility, but also indicate the conferring of degrees and the conferring of further, certification. So look towards bolstering your resume, not just in terms of what you already have, but also getting something else. I can tell you right now that in, working in somewhere like the museum or having a degree in history and wanting to do something in that field usually requires much a more advanced degree than a bachelor's. Now, that doesn't mean you need to go and get your PhD, but there are museum certifications that are available through universities. There are internship programs. All of these are alternative routes that will help kind of open the door and tame this situation for you. And it's something that you should seriously consider while doing magical work to really open the field up to you. And if you do that, kind of advance yourself in terms of some further education, do some magical work, you will eventually get the job that you want. It may take a little bit longer than you know you hoped for, but success is very much possible here. It's just a success that comes with the work, okay?
Okay, thank you. That's exactly when I read myself. That's pretty much what I got as well. So that's
okay. Cool. Well, you're going to get one more reading and some root work here. So let's,
okay, great. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to throw the bones. And what I do when I read on the radio is do a much shortened version of the bone cast. I just pick up out of my bowl of many, many, many bones of different species. I just grab what comes to hand and I throw them. Okay? Mm-hmm. So here's what we get. Okay? All right. It looks like I got five bones this time. Now, in bone reading, bones aren't always bones. There are other things that are not bones. We call it bone reading. The first, they fall into two groups. It kind of, each group is, one group is composed of two things and one is of three. The first group is a wishbone, and it is just balanced, arched over, pointing down. And in the wishbone is a little key that intrudes into the wishbone. It's a little tiny skeleton key, like might have come out of a furniture cabinet. So the wish is obviously your wish. The wishbone is your wish. The key is the key to your desires, the key to your plans. And I'm relating this to what Ollie already said about getting some sort of certification, because a key is often given as, you know, it's a sort of a it means that you have the ability to open those doors, that you have some authority to open where you want to go. You will not be able to get your wish until you have the key, is what these two bones, just very simple little quick two-bone reading. The second group is a group of three, and what we have here is a lion's long, I guess you could call it a finger bone of a lion, not the little tiny paw bone at the end, but the longer finger bone of the lion. And then it, in parallel to it, and right next to it, is a alligator foot, which is kind of caressing it with its little claws. It's kind of like combing the end of the lion's paw. And the alligator claw stands for money, usually money luck and gambling luck, things that are going to bring you financial success. The lion paw stands for your strength, your power, your acquisitive nature, your pride, and also your loyalty. It's a very strong bone. It's the strongest bone in this little array. The third bone is actually a little Chinaware doll hand, and it is of the several Chinaware doll hands I have, it's a very antique little old thing. This one has its hand out flat. I always call it the Stop in the Name of Love hand because it looks like Diana Ross pantomiming that song. But in this case, it's not saying stop. It's actually right up under the little alligator foot and pushing it. It's like it's saying, go get him, alligator foot. And so what it's saying is that you need to actually think more about money. Push money to the forefront. The money will groom, you know, the power hand. So all of these three in that cluster are all from hands, an alligator hand, a doll hand, and a lion's paw. So these all indicate forward movement, reaching, and making sure that you go for that goal. Do not satisfied where you are, but you do need that key to open the wish. Okay? So let's turn it over to Professor Ames and see what he says you can do.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So I'm using a technique that if you go to the Jew Heritage Festival, Madam Nadia is going to expand on this, but it's using cards to give us a prescription. So I've laid out five cards here, the Lenormand card. The first two here, and some of this is going to be magical, some is going to be a little more practical. The first two are the ring and the book. That's telling me you need to commit to an area of study. So just as in the reading, probably some additional work, specializing. But I think the most important thing I'm getting here is you need to know what you want, right? So that's the key. You've got to make a decision. So a little research, finding things out. The next card is the garden. Again, also practical. Look for, once you find your area that you're interested in, museum work, whatever it is, look for networking associations. Those are great ways to get in, meet people, find jobs that are not generally put out, you know, in the public in the newspaper. So look for specialized organizations for you to join. The fourth card here is the bear. That's telling me that you want to find a mentor, probably through this networking organization, but someone who is in the field that you want to be in. Sidle up to them, spend time with them, ask some questions, get informational interviews if they're already in a position, and that will help you a lot. Now, as far as magical work here, I'm kind of combining a couple of these. My last part here is the path or the crossroads. That's telling me that you probably want to do some crossroads work with this. The diamond ring here in the first, I always think of that as far as rocks and stones. And I'm going to suggest taking a lodestone, a magnetic lodestone, and writing out your wishes and your hopes for your ideal job. So maybe not giving it a name, but give it a description. So what about that job is important to you? That you're respected, you're well paid, it uses your degree, it's fulfilling, anything like those qualities that you want to have in that. And I want you to wrap it around that lodestone, dress it with something like Crown of Success oil, and I want you to set it up in your own little crossroads, okay? So if you've got a countertop or a desktop that you can use for about a week, draw out with some sachet powder a crossroads, like an intersection of two streets, if you will. Right in the middle of that, I want you to put that lodestone with your petition wrapped around that. And in each of the four corners, I want you to put a candle. It can be one of the small wind chime candles. Again, dress with things like victory, clarity oil, if you're still trying to decide, Van Van oil, road opener, blockbuster, if you want to break down some barriers. And over the course of a week, light those candles each night, say your prayers over it, and slowly move each one of those closer into that lodestone to your final goal in the middle of the crossroads. Okay? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, that
makes sense. Okay.
So burn them in proportion
to
every night,
good
moving
luck
them closer and closer.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank
you,
honey.
We're going to have to move on because we're getting a little short on time. But it's interesting now we have two people who are students. So let's see if we can shoot for a third. Let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee. Sometimes we have these themes in our shows.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or to the archive podcasts and iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and root work consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com, and this week's special guest, Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Tune in each week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and see about that third caller, Miss Cat. We've got Doc Murphy. Doc Murphy, are you there from 651 St. Paul, Minnesota?
I am here. Hello.
Hi. Hi. Welcome back. Hi. Thank you so much for, as always, for tuning in just about every week. I know you're here as a little listener into the chat, and also for being out there with us, okay? We truly enjoy it, okay?
Oh,
and
thank you.
You're very welcome. And just letting everyone know that, once again, you've called in a couple of times for readings and root work prescriptions. The last time you called in was in November of 2013. You've had readings and root work advice from Conjurman Ali, Madam Nadia Lukianos, and also from our Miss Cat, Conjurman Ali, and Dr. E. And here we go. I did not make the cut for a full-time teaching position I was working to get out of 100 applicants. I'm sad and wondering what to do next. Why wasn't I selected? Should I apply again or work towards another school or another line of work outside academia? Should I continue the root work I've been doing or try something else? Turning it back over to you.
All right, just briefly, what root work have you been doing?
A recommended prescription of a sugar jar with herbs,
yes,
that Conjurman Ali recommended.
Yes.
And didn't have a chance to collect graveyard dirt because it began to snow very fiercely, but was working on some soil collection and that sort of thing also to put in the sugar jar.
Okay. So the question is, why wasn't I selected? Should I apply again or work toward another school? Let's have Professor Ames do the first reading on this one. Professor Ames?
No.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm here.
Yeah, you're
okay.
The first reader.
All right, I was talking away on mute. So I'm reading with the Italian Sibylla cards, and I lay out a little half circle here of about 7 cards, and they kind of each position tells me something a little different. So the first pair of cards, I have the Grand Consolation. So it's dreams of things, as I'm understanding from your description, you made the initial cut, but then didn't get the job finally. Is that correct?
I didn't even make the short list.
The issue card here is called The Desperation of Jealousy, and it shows a man who is distraught. He's got a gun to his head. It's really showing a lot of emotional strife. The initial obstacle here is La Vecchia Signora, so it's an older woman. This probably indicates that the job was given to someone with more experience, longer term in the type of field that you're in. The next two cards talk about other issues surrounding this. The first is travel, viaggio. So you may, in fact, need to travel to a different location, to a different college, in order to get the job that you're desiring. The casa is the home, which, again, is a change in your home situation. A move is likely. I'm going to skip the card, but the last card here is despair. It shows a woman standing crying. She's very unhappy. Be very cautious that you don't let this get to you and that you kind of lose your way because of despair. The next card is the doctor card. So that's telling me that, in fact, root work is one of you pass through this to doctor to fix the situation. So I highly recommend either working with a root worker to help you with this, a professional, highly indicated, to keep doing some root work for that as well. So
I think your biggest stumbling block are two things that you're probably going to have to move to find another position, if that's possible, and to also let to avoid letting your emotions, your despair of the situation get the better of you. Okay?
Okay. That's a heavy one. All right, Ali, what do you see?
Okay, a couple things. First of all, I 100% agree that you're going to have to, I mean, Professor Ames is dead on with that. You're going to have to, don't reapply, you need to go elsewhere. We get that in the judges, we is travel to the road. You need to go elsewhere, you need to move on. We have not applied to the same thing. Now, I don't know what work you did. You only mentioned a couple of them, but I remember, if I remember your reading correctly, there were some really positive indications, but my geometric reading also showed that there's, you're going to have to work for it. So I don't know if you did all the work. A sugar jar or a sugar bowl is great. That's excellent. But there was also other recommendations, politics, networking, that I remember very correct, very big, because for you, populist came up over and over again in your geomantic reading. Mind you, this is all from memory, so correct me if I'm wrong. But this is, kind of answers why you didn't get it. When I look at the geomantic chart, we have Puella in the 10th house. This tells us, yeah, academia is where you should be going. Puella's ruled by Libra. You know, it's about teaching. You're on the right path, but you're going to have to move. But then it moved over into the 12th house. This tells us why you didn't get it. Other people were able to present themselves in a way better than you were. Again, I don't know what field of academia you are, but in the field that I am, in the past month alone, we've had 8 job talks. So academia is really hard. It's very, very, very competitive. And how well you do in those job talks, where you present your research, where you present your pedagogical techniques, where you present all that, is going to determine whether you do really well. And then you follow that up with networking. There is the job talk itself, and then you go out to dinner with the department, you meet with the graduate students. There's all sorts of things that are involved. One of the people that it did end up getting the job at my particular university was brilliant at that. She showed up one day with food, all these things that she wined and dined people. This worked really well in her benefit, and within 1 month, she beat out the other candidates for it. So I'm not sure what work you did, but what Puella is telling me in the top is saying that you didn't do enough legwork, that you may have done some networking, but I remember telling you, did you put sugar in people's food? Did you go into the kitchen? Like, these are things that you should have done. You should have laid out some powders. If you did, great. You needed to do more of it. So this is telling you why you didn't succeed in this particular case. While things may have looked good, you just got beat out because other people were better at networking, were better at the politics, and made a better impression than you did. So very important that going forward, you do the root work, you absolutely go to a different position, a different place, consider moving, and learn from your mistakes. If you have a job talk, you need to bust that job talk. Like, you need to be amazing. And the key to being amazing is just to fascinate them. Remember, these people are going to hire you because you're going to be someone they work with for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And if you're not someone that's interesting to them, you're often presenting to people who have no clue about your area of specialties. For example, my area in history is the ancient Mediterranean, North Africa, and the Middle East. I may be the only person who teaches in that field, so I have to present in such a way that the Atlantic historian is going to be fascinated with my research. So networking and presentation is going to be key. So any type of magic you do should revolve around that. You need to be carrying Crown of Success mojo bags when you go up to talk, deer's tongue, things like that, and Kat can talk about how you do that. But a lot of magical work that involves specifically influencing the people in front of you. Okay, so sweetening them up, not just with the sugar bowl, then you take the sugar right out of the sugar and you feed them. So things like that. And that's what my divination has revealed, that you did well, but you didn't present as well as you should have, and you didn't network as well as you should have. And Kat can talk about how you can complement that in the future, okay?
All right. Okay, Doc Murphy, I'm really sorry you did not get the job. We always like everything to turn out the best. But I understand, especially from these two readings, I understand that the dimensions of the issue, 100 applicants, you got to shine on more than just, being an adorable candidate and being a smart candidate for the job. You need to be more than just one of the applicants. So
I'm sad that they both say that you may have to move, and that is they both came up with it, and I'm not going to cross them up on that. If you do move, you might want to do some astrological geolocation charts. There are relocation astrology, or otherwise known as locational astrology, that will show you what longitudes and will be most favorable to your career or whatever else you're interested in. But don't give up and do keep trying. Now, I'm going to give you some ideas of the kind of work that I would do if it were me, and I really wanted to influence people very, very strongly. I would, for one thing, wear a talismanic piece of jewelry. A sugar jar is a sugar jar. It's sitting there. It's doing its thing. You light a candle on it or don't, as the case may be. Ali said, make them cookies. That's good. Out of the sugar, you can't always do that. But talismanic jewelry, if you have a piece of jewelry that you have set to work for you for what you want, whatever it may be, and choose a suitable gemstone that works in that direction, suitable mineral or metal, if that's what you need, and wear it. And that will be something. I like to wear them as rings. I think most people like a magical ring now and then. A magical necklace is good. You can feel it with your hands, but you can't see it usually. Magical ring, every time you type, you'll be seeing it, and rub that ring and put your thoughts out there. Citrine is sometimes used to draw money, amethyst for a clear head, keep from being poisoned. There's a lot of different meanings to the stones, and you can look them up in any good book on the symbolism and mythology of minerals. I really recommend that you do this, that you make yourself a magical talismanic ring to wear it. You can use it as a fascinator when you go to these meetings. You just hold your hand up in such a way just so that they see it. You turn the back of your hand toward them, you know, maybe put your hand up by your throat or by your cheek for just a second, and flash the ring at them just slightly. That kind of work is something that is very, very strong. Ali says in the chat room, why do you think I wear a ring? Well, yes, honey, why do you think I do? And citrine is good. Citrine is very good. But those are some of the things that I would do, is something that you can work with that is going to be on you when you go to meet these people. Now, if you get one of those kind of rings that has a hollow space underneath it, you can load or pack it. If you get I'm not talking necessarily a poison ring, although you can get those. Those are usually pretty cheaply made and thin metal in order to open up with a hinge. What I'm talking is a piece of ring that may be a little bit hollow or a dome underneath, and you can literally pack a tiny mojo in aluminum foil under the dome of that ring, under a gemstone, even if it's open to the back. Trust me, I've done it. It can be done. And, yes, tiny mojos. And they really do work. And you can, you know, set that thing to go. And you can also use a necklace that was made in the form of a locket will also work. Tiny, tiny mojos, says Tammy Lee. But, yeah, I know the tune. And it really does. That really helps. And it's going to make you have the confidence when you go to see those people. Okay? All right, hon. I wish you all the best. And stay in touch. We love you, and we love having you in the chat room. And you're just a great person, and we really want to see you succeed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you might want to also work with somebody who has some academic background, like Conjurman Ali. He is in academia, and he is using that stuff, and he may a root work consultation with him, a private consultation with him, may help.
The stuff that we've told you in the past, that was all from my little book of secrets. I am the rock star at my academic institution for a reason. Literally, all the things I said, I've done that. I said them, the sugar, the ring, that this is all time-tested stuff.
Yeah, good luck. Okay. All right, we're going to go to our free spell. So So let's let Miss Tammy Lee tell us all about that.
All right. Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, we've got about just under 7 minutes remaining in today's show. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And our free spell section today will be coming from Professor Ames of SkullboneEmporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado. Turning it over to you, Professor Ames.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Today I want to talk about an old-style working to get you out of legal trouble. If you're in front of a court, this is recorded by Jim Haskins in his Voodoo Hoodoo, and he has two variations on it. I really like them both.
I like them because they tie into to religion as well. And the idea is that you're working for a hung jury, which, of course, is 12 people, and they're using the apostles as stand-in, the 12 apostles. So the simplest version of this is take two pieces of paper, write the names of six apostles on each, fold it up, and put it in your left and your right shoe, right? So you're separating the 12 into two groups. A more lovely version is to put the names of the 12 apostles onto a leaf of sage. I really like that, putting six into one shoe, five into the other, leaving out Judas because he's the betrayer. Some people, some versions of this say, put another biblical character that represents your condition. So if you were arrested for theft, you might put Benjamin in there. If you were murder, you might put Cain. But that will guarantee a hung jury to work in your favor. Some things you might want to do alongside of this, powder with sachet powder, put some court case powder or just judge into your shoes alongside of this. And, of course, you want to do other things like chew Little John to chew or court case root as well. So that's a quick and easy one, and I really love the tie-in to using the apostles as standing for your 12 jurymen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a neat one, and I'm going to tell you.
Isn't that a fun one?
That's a lovely one, and I'm going to tell you that
that's
first
awesome.
Place I ever encountered that was in Powell's or The Long-Lost Friend, and it certainly goes back. Yeah, it's in there. And the reason I knew about it, it was it said to write the names on knotweed. Now, you can't write names on knotweed. It's a tiny little thin scrawny leaf.
Yeah.
So I asked my mother, who spoke German because she was from Germany, I said, what is the plant here? And we happen to have an antiquarian bookstore. Not everybody has one of those. And she looked up the original version of it. I don't actually think we had it in our bookstore. She may have gotten it from the Cal Library. But in any case, she said, no, that's a typo or a mistranslation. It's not knotweed. It's plantain leaf. And plantain leaf, we don't mean the banana leaf, but we mean the goosefoot plantain, which has little lines, ribs in the leaf, that look like a copybook with lines that you would write one name on every line.
Ah, very nice. And
yeah.
They use that for fever as well in powwow, right? That puts
yeah,
it on
yeah.
your stomach for that. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that's
very
a very, very old one, and it's a lovely piece of Bible magic, spiritual magic, absolutely. Plantain, the big leafed plantain.
Mm-hmm. Which grows
All
in
right.
every sidewalk.
That's right.
Beautiful.
All right. All right. Thank you so much for that. Okay, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to take us out.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you so much, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Professor Ames of ScopeUnemporium.com in Fort Collins, Colorado, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers will be Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Miss Tammy Lee. Thank you, Professor Ames, for being a guest on the show. It was
thanks
lovely
for having
to
me.
Have you. And thanks for that wonderful court case bell. It's a very important piece of our history and one that a lot of people can use. And thank you, Ali, as always, with your dignified and special voice that got special call-outs in the chat room I did not mention lest they embarrass you. I don't know if you read those. But
I did not. Must have missed it.
You missed it. You have some fans out there in Ladyland, okay?
All a compliment.
Well, you can go back and read the transcription of the chat later. All right. Okay, everybody else, I'll stick around in the chat room for a few minutes, but I've got to go check on my railroad. It's coming along real fast now, and I want to be there when the train leaves the station. So remember, go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com, get your tickets for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, come on out, learn a lot, and the Lucky Mojo newsletter will be coming into your email boxes within the next day or two. All right, we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night,
everyone. Good night, all.